Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. We'll leave it there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you for the reading of the Word of God. And Lord, we pray that you would bless our time now as we give some thought to what we've read this morning, Lord. May it be a blessing and encouragement. And Father, may your will be accomplished in our midst. Lord, that's our desire this morning. And so we commend ourselves to you now. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen. I want to look this morning at two aspects of peace, and the Bible has much to say about peace. Peace, both those who have peace and those who don't have peace. And in this world we live in a very troubled world, as we all know. You don't have to listen to the news for too long to find out there's wars and fightings and violence and strife. There's all the uncertainties and all this foolishness about global climate change and all the other foolish things that are out there today in the world. And so there's national and global problems and strife, and then within countries, and then within families there's conflicts and strife and troubles, and then individuals' lives are full of strife and conflict, and it just goes on, doesn't it? It's the world we live in. And people are wondering, where can they find true peace? Is there even such a thing as true peace anymore? And there are various solutions to that. One is just pop a few pills. That'll keep you quiet. And, you know, the list goes on. You go to the psychiatrist and they've got, you know, 400 and something things now that they can tell you that you've got, and then away you go from there, and you'll be at peace after that. And on and on it goes. It's the world we live in. But the problem is not going to be solved in that manner. Isaiah 57 verse 21 says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." There's no peace out there. Any peace they have is a manufactured peace. It's not a lasting peace. Outside of knowing God and living for God, there is no true lasting peace. Now, so I already know that. Good, I want to encourage you with that thought again this morning. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And there are two aspects of peace which are written much about in the Scriptures. And the first is this one in verse 1 of Romans chapter 5, where Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Up until then, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Until our sins are forgiven, then we are enemies of God. That's the clear teaching of the scriptures. When you look in verse 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in what? In that while we were yet sinners. There's the problem. That's why the world has no peace, because they are sinners and they are alienated from God because of their sin. You notice verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. God says anybody who has not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is an enemy of God. Now, that's not very popular, because people say, well, that's very judgmental or whatever they say, but that's the clear teaching of the scriptures, that if a person has not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, it doesn't matter how good they are, how loving they might seem to be, how gracious and how helpful and everything else, they are an enemy of God. They do not have peace with God. In verse 10, for when we were enemies, he says, then in verse 11, not only so, but we also joy in God. Verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's the problem, you see. I know we keep repeating that, but we need to keep repeating that and repeating that and repeating that. There may be someone here this morning who has never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, and the reason may be because they've never come to terms with the fact that God says they are his enemy and they are sinners outside of salvation, outside of God. And so we need to keep sounding that message out, because when we get saved, we have peace with God. The enmity is now taken away. And the idea of peace with God is this: to bind together that which previously was separated. Okay, so when we have peace with God, we are now bound together with God in Christ. Until then, we're out here, God's out there, and we are at enmity with God. We are his enemies. God tells us we're his enemies. But when we trust the Lord Jesus, our Saviour, when we believe on him, trust him for his death on the cross, for our sins, risen again, then we are bound together with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified. And that's an important term, justified, because we would call that a legal term, because we can never lose now the peace with God. The peace with God comes when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and our sins are washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we are now in right standing with God, and will be for eternity. And so that's the peace with God. Every believer has peace with God. Every believer. Every unbeliever is at enmity with God. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But here's something that can and does vary in a believer's life. The second aspect of peace that the Bible speaks about is the peace of God, or the peace which comes from God. All right, the peace of God or the peace from God, one and the same thing. And so we want to look at that this morning and ask ourselves some questions about this. Do I have peace with God, first of all? Does God see me as his enemy, or does he see me as part of the family of God? And then if I can get that sorted out and say, okay, yes, no, I believe that I'm saved. Well, more than that, I know I'm saved. We ought not just believe it, we ought to know it, because John says he's written so we can know. But now, do I have the peace of God, or the peace that comes from God? All right. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. By the way, I believe the peace of God is something that every believer ought to experience on a daily basis. So we have peace with God, but we ought to have the peace of God. That is one of the blessings of being saved, but it is something that can be forfeited, and we'll see why in a moment. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, if you haven't memorized these verses, let me encourage you to memorize them. Verse 4, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Chapter 4. But Paul says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, do we have the peace of God that passes understanding? We can't explain it. We can't tell anybody what that really is. We just know that we're at peace. And it's not something we manufactured. It's not something that we got a piece of paper out and worked it out. But God has given us. It is from God. It's the peace of God. And it is past understanding. Okay, so do we have that kind of peace this morning? Do we have that kind of peace whereby we can say, I'm at peace? And it's the peace of God. I can't explain it to you. I can't necessarily tell you all that that is and what it means to me, but I am enjoying the peace of God that passes all understanding. Now, I know we've said this before, but I want to say it again. One reason why we do not enjoy the peace of God is seen in this verse 6. Be careful for nothing. The idea is be anxious or don't be worried about anything. So I'm worried about... You won't have the peace of God. If you're worried about something, you won't have the peace of God. Why? Because God says be careful, be anxious, don't worry about anything. But I got a lot of pressures in my life. It doesn't matter. God doesn't say it. You know, if you've got a lot of real... I mean, if you've got some serious big problems, then, okay, you can worry about them. But don't worry about the little ones. No, God says be careful, be anxious, don't worry about... For nothing. Ours as a believer ought to be a carefree life in that sense. That's how it should be. Going through... Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. How do you do that? Well, first of all, I'm not careful about anything. I'm not anxious about it. I'm not worried about anything. You say, don't you have any problems? You got half an hour, I'll tell you some of them. But I'm not anxious about that. I'm not worried about that. I'm not careful about that. And notice something else, too, that goes with this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. So are we praying about everything? Well, I haven't got time. I'm too busy worrying. Yeah, that's probably the problem. We're not to be anxious or to be worried about everything. We're to commit everything to God in prayer. Everything. Not just most things. In everything. By prayer and supplication. And here's the other thing that must be, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Are you thankful, as we've seen in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things? Are there things in your life that you haven't yet thanked God for? That may be the reason why you don't have the peace of God, which passes all understanding. God wants us to be obedient to that. And then he'll give us his peace. The peace of God, it comes from God. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Here's the definition of that. The tranquility of mind based on the consciousness of a right relationship to God. The peace of God. Not anxious for anything. Not worried about anything. Just praying about everything. Giving thanks for all things. And therefore enjoying the peace of God that passes all understanding. One of the things that will take away that peace also, we find in verses through 7 through 8. He says, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Shall keep our hearts. One of the problems we can have if we're not careful is... we allow our emotions to dictate our decisions. Now, God says if we're coming without being anxious, we're coming in prayer, we're coming with thanksgiving, we're letting our requests be made known unto God, then God will keep that part of us, our hearts, our emotions under control. If we start living according to that, we're going to be in trouble. And then he says, keep your hearts and minds. And so verse 8 helps us with that because the way we think what we think about, what we think on, can very quickly cause us to lose the peace of God that passes all understanding. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is the true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, if things are good report, if there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And so we have to ask ourselves, if we're not enjoying the peace of God that passes understanding, if we can't just sit back and say, I'm at peace. I'm at peace. Life's good. I'm thankful for where I'm at. Then is it because our thought life is not what it should be? What are we thinking about? Where does our mind go when we have those moments where there's not much happening? What are we thinking about? Because that can very much determine whether the God of peace, the peace of God, will be with us. And so we could spend probably a lot of time just thinking about that. But he speaks here of the peace of God that passes all understanding. Now come back into the Old Testament, into Isaiah chapter 26. And again, I'd encourage you, if you haven't memorized these verses, memorize them. Hide them in your heart. Isaiah 26. And in verse 3 and 4, God says this in his word, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, again, you notice it's qualified, isn't it? You say, I wish I just had perfect peace. You know, I get tired of being without perfect peace. And God says, well, you want perfect peace? Yes, please, Lord. And you've said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And God says, yes, but notice there's a qualification, whose mind is stayed on God. Again, it comes back to our thinking. Because he trusteth in thee. Are you trusting in the Lord in this difficult situation, in every situation? Because if we're not trusting in the Lord, if we, comes back to, in a sense, to what Paul said, if we're anxious, if we're worried, if we're careful, full of cares, then we're not trusting in God. And if we're not trusting in God, we will not know the perfect peace which he gives. Perfect peace. Just at peace. I was driving here this morning and just came up Vivian Avenue. Driving Stephen's car. He's not well, so he's home this morning. And thought, my, it seems like it could do with a bit of a wheel alignment. It seems to be pulling to the left a little bit. Oh, well. And I came around the corner into Allison. I got about halfway between there and Panola Road. And, what's that noise? That sounds a bit different. It's definitely pulling to the left. I think I better pull over. And I get out, and the front left tire is that flat. You don't get them any flatter. And so I began to panic and go to pieces and worry. No, I didn't. This is a bit of a problem. What do I do now? I know what I'll do. I'll change the tyre. So I opened up the boot and found a spare tyre. That was good. Got that out. Found a jack. That was good, but nothing to operate the jack. Oh, that's a problem. Now what do? Well, I put them back in the boot and close the boot and go home. And so I kind of ran and walked and got home and said, I need another set of keys for another car because the other one's on the side of the road. And so I borrowed Paul's car to come down here. And then so I could say, it's all right, I'm still alive, so I can go home again. And so it goes. But in all that, I said, Lord, this has got to be something to do with this message this morning, I think. a little bit of an object lesson. You know, what are you going to do when that happens? Yeah, but I could be late, and what happened? Hey, thank you, Lord, you've allowed this. There must be something in this. It's at least I can talk about it when I'm preaching, I guess. But we ought to have peace, amen? The peace of God that passes all understanding, that tranquility of mind that God gives, that perfect peace which comes when we are trusting in the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, flat tires are a minor problem in a sense, but for some people that's almost the end of the world. Go to pieces. Now what are we going to do? Panic, panic. How are we going to solve this? I don't know. Let's just one step at a time, we'll get it sorted out. And so there is the perfect peace. Psalm 119, most of us perhaps have even memorized this one. Psalm 119 and verse 165. And God's word tells us here of great peace. Great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. How good's that? Great peace. You say, I wish I had great peace. I wish I could just, you know, there are moments I get glimpses of it, and there are times when I have peace, but not always. Well, the question then is, what's your relationship with the Word of God? Because God says, great peace have they which love thy law. There's the test, isn't it? See, all these are qualified. If we want to enjoy these blessings, then God wants us to be obedient to his word, to respond to his word. And in our response, then he blesses us. And so, great peace of they which love thy law. I don't read the Bible, but you know, I'm too busy. I wonder why I don't have great peace. I've never studied the Bible. I'm too busy. But I wonder why I don't have great peace. I can't memorize scripture, it's too hard. Well, I wonder why we don't have great peace. Great peace of they which doesn't, notice he doesn't say have they which prefer the word of God. In other words, the idea is there's some things that are important, and we on a balance, and we'd probably prefer the word of God rather than watching a movie. We'd prefer the word of God or whatever. No, great peace of they which love thy law. And here comes the blessing as well. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. It's a marvelous truth. And so people can say things to you and about you. You say, okay, all right, fair enough, I'm listening. But in that, we can have great peace. Great peace. You think about the Lord Jesus. Was there any time in his life when he didn't have great peace? No, he always had great peace, didn't he? Did he love the word of God? Sure did. Did anything offend him? No. Who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself? Hebrews tells us. Think about him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, who being criticized, who being reviled not again. Why? He was a great peace. He didn't have to worry about, I've got to prove to everybody I'm the Son of God. No, he didn't have to do that. His life said he was the Son of God. What he did and the way he lived said, I'm the Son of God. He was at great peace. So that's different for him. It doesn't say great peace has the Lord Jesus, nobody else. It says great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Have a look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. It's another aspect of peace. Colossians chapter 3. Notice in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And notice verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. He says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And the idea of ruling is an umpire who presides at a game and decides who gets the prizes and who doesn't. And so the peace of God should be ruling in my heart. My decisions need to be tempered by whether or not the peace of God is ruling in my heart. If I'm looking to make a decision about something and I don't feel totally at peace about it, then don't do it. Don't do it. Let the umpire, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Because when we are coming before God with our prayers and supplications and intercessions with thanksgiving, the peace of God will rule in our hearts. And if it's not, if we're looking to make a decision and we're not totally at peace about it, then we need to ask ourselves some questions. Why not? The peace of God is the umpire. And the peace of God is saying at that point, because you don't have it, there's a problem here. Let's go back and find out what the problem is. It's to be ruling in our hearts. Never make a decision whereby the peace of God is not bearing testimony in your spirit. This is fine. This is okay. Go ahead with that. You make a decision when you're not at peace and enjoying the peace of God, I guarantee it, you'll mess up somewhere. Guarantee it. Because the peace of God is to rule, it's to be the umpire. That's to be the presiding judge, as it were. So one of the tests is, am I in the will of God? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Do you have peace about it? Are you enjoying perfect peace? Are you enjoying the great peace of God which passes all understanding? If you are, then I would suggest most likely you're in the will of God. The only exception to that would be this. Some people, some Christians, they struggle and they have difficulties and up and down, round and round. And they're struggling. They know what God wants them to do primarily, but they're reluctant to do it. And then it gets harder and harder and harder until they give up. They say, that's it. I'm just going to do it anyway. And at that point, they have peace. But it is not the peace of God ruling in their heart. It is the peace that comes when we say, I'm stopped. I'm going to stop fighting about it. And I'm just going to do it. We're at peace. Not with God and not the peace of God. So when I say when we're at peace, then go ahead. Make sure it is the peace of God ruling in our heart. Not the peace that comes when I just give up. I stop fighting. I've seen Christians in that situation and they go on to make a mess of their lives and other people's lives as well, generally. And yet they'll tell you, well, I'm at peace about it. I have a peace. Yeah, it's a peace, but not from God. Doesn't line up with the Word of God. Doesn't fit with the principles and teaching of the Scriptures. Yes, it's a peace, but it's not the peace of God. And so Paul says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let that be the arbitrator. Let that be the umpire that says, yes, that's good. No, that's no good. Yes, that's good. No, that's not good. Two aspects. Peace with God through trusting Christ as our Saviour. Then the peace of God, the peace that comes from God, which is seen, as we've seen this morning, in different aspects, and we could look at others as well. The peace of God, the perfect peace, the great peace, the ruling peace of God in our hearts. But most important, of course, the starting point is peace with God. If you don't have peace with God, the way to get that is to repent of your sins, Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, turn to God, believe on him. Believe he died in your place and rose again the third day. He's paid the price, the penalty's paid, the wages are paid. The gift of God is eternal life. If you'll receive that gift, you'll have eternal life, you'll have peace with God, you'll be justified by faith. And then learn to live, enjoying the peace of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you for the word of God, and we thank you for the peace with God that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you we are justified by faith and thereby have peace with God. We thank you that is an eternal peace, an eternal union with our God. But Father, we've seen this morning there are great aspects of the peace of God, the peace that comes from God, great and perfect peace. But Lord, that can be hindered depending on whether we're thankful, depending on whether we're being anxious, depending on whether or not our thoughts are right, depending on whether or not we're trusting you. Lord, these different aspects, Lord. And I trust and pray, Lord, that each and every one of us, Lord, would know what it is to not only have peace with God, but to enjoy the peace of God. That's the birthright of every child of God. Lord, if there's some issue that you've touched on in a person's life today, and they have to be honest, they're not enjoying the peace of God. They're not enjoying perfect peace. They're not enjoying that great peace. Then, Lord, I pray you'd give them the grace to deal with that, to repent of whatever is hindering them, so they might enjoy that great gift, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that you want to give. And then, Lord, we give you the thanks and give you the praise. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.